The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how an AI-powered robotic glove may help improve hand grip strength in those with MS. BioLiberty, a Scottish biotech startup, has developed a robotic glove that uses artificial intelligence to improve the hand grip in people with muscle weakness due to multiple sclerosis and other conditions. The technology may be closer to entering people's homes now that the startup has secured support from the Edinburgh Business School's incubator based at Heriot Watt University in Scotland. Up to now, we've funded the company from business competition awards, so being accepted into the Edinburgh Business School incubator program is a huge boost. Ross O'Hanlon, one of four engineering graduates who founded BioLiberty, said in a press release, "We're confident that support of this type will help accelerate the glove into homes more quickly," O'Hanlon said. In the UK, 2.5 million people are estimated to experience hand weakness due to either loss of muscle mass with age or conditions such as MS, motor neuron disease, and carpal tunnel syndrome. Carpal tunnel syndrome is a common condition that causes pain and weakness in the hand and wrist. These numbers are only expected to increase as populations in most of the developing world are aging, placing increasing pressure on care services, O'Hanlon said. The original idea behind the now working glove prototype and the creation of the startup altogether was born after O'Hanlon noticed his aunt was beginning to struggle with simple daily tasks such as drinking water or changing the TV channel after being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. "Being an engineer, I decided to use technology to tackle these challenges head on with the aim of helping people like my aunt to retain their autonomy," O'Hanlon said, adding that "we wanted to support independent living and healthy aging by enabling individuals to live more comfortably in their own homes for longer." While there are many gadgets on the market that address a specific grip challenge, such as tools to help open jars, I wanted an all-encompassing solution to support a range of daily tasks, he said. The lightweight glove detects the wearer's intention to grip by measuring electrical activity in the muscles in response to a nerve stimulation through a technique called electromyography. An algorithm then converts the intention into force, amplifying the user's grip and helping them hold an item or apply the necessary pressure to complete an activity. The technology is expected to help with a wide range of day-to-day tasks, including opening jars, driving, and pouring a cup of coffee. "We founded BioLiberty while studying, and we've already achieved a working prototype. But with a background in engineering, converting a good idea into a successful business can be overwhelming," Hanlon said. The Edinburgh Business School Incubator has an incredible program for early-stage businesses like ours, supporting challenges for all new companies. "We all face the drive for additional funding, marketing, networking, scaling, and forging collaborations." Once companies leave the incubator, the university's Global Research, Innovation, and Discovery Facility supports the next stage in business growth through accelerated scale-up and development processes, and by bringing together entrepreneurial talent with academia and enterprise expertise.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Ocrevus and PML, should we be worried? The journal JAMA Neurology recently reported that a 78-year-old man with progressive multiple sclerosis died after being diagnosed with progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy, or PML, a brain disease. The man, diagnosed with MS about 30 years ago, had been treated for 2 years with Ocrevus, or ocrelizumab, and had no previous immunotherapy, the journal reported. As of last December, 10 cases of PML had been reported in people being treated with Ocrevus since the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the disease-modifying therapy, or DMT, in March 2017, according to Ocrevus developer Genentech. But this man's case is different from the other nine. In the other cases, patients were previously treated with either Tysabri, natalizumab, or Gilenya, fingolimod, before being treated with Ocrevus. Genentech said that in 9 patients, Ocrevus treatments were not determined to have been solely responsible for the PML infections. In the 10th case, however, Ocrevus was the only DMT the patient had received. What happened? According to JAMA Neurology, the man was diagnosed with PML after experiencing vision problems and confusion for 2 weeks. His symptoms progressed over the next few weeks and included vision loss, facial droop, and difficulty speaking. Doctors discontinued his Ocrevus treatment and began therapy with the cancer medication Keytruda, or pembrolizumab, and other medications. But the man's condition declined rapidly, leading to his death. An autopsy confirmed the PML diagnosis. Immunosenescence, likely a factor. Doctors also noted that the man's older age likely played a role in the PML infection. There have been some reports, although it is rare, of PML in elderly people that may have been exacerbated by an age-related reduction in the production or potency of lymphocytes, cells that attack viruses, in their immune systems. This could result in immunosenescence and increased susceptibility to infections and disease. The authors of the JAMA Neurology article noted that clinical trials of Ocrevus were limited to participants ages 18 to 55, yet the FDA did not set age limits for older people when it approved the medication. Because Ocrevus was the only DMT approved for the treatment of primary progressive MS, the authors believe that many older patients decided to take Ocrevus despite a lack of safety data about its effects on older people with MS. The authors concluded that, quote, ultimately, while age-related immunosenescence and myelolymphopenia may have predisposed the patient to the condition, we believe the ocrelizumab was associated with the development of PML. Should Ocrevus users worry? I'm not a medical professional, but common sense tells me there's little need for concern for many of those being treated with Ocrevus. All DMTs that offer significant benefits carry a known risk of severe side effects. Ocrevus is one of them. Lemtrada, or alemtuzumab, which I was treated with when I was 69, is another. Tysabri, the DMT I used for 7 years while in my late 50s and early 60s, is another. PML is a known possibility for people treated with Tysabri. Yet, many thousands of people with MS have been treated with these therapies without contracting PML. Careful monitoring and the use of blood tests and MRIs seem to be key to avoiding it. In Sweden and France, studies reported significant drops in PML cases among Tysabri patients enrolled in risk management programs, as Multiple Sclerosis News Today reported earlier this year. So, need we worry about this case of PML? I think not. But we do need to understand the risks versus the benefits of our MS treatments, discuss them with our neurologists, and do our best to minimize those risks.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.